Whisper by Adriana Dane, now available from Amber Heat, www.amberheat.com. Eden Trinity, viciously blinded by her jealous lover, survives to testify and send him to prison. But the trauma of his attack and her changed circumstance will take time to heal. Solitary retreat to a small cabin in Raven's Cove brings her some sense of desperate peace. Until the night she has a vision of a murder, and a seductive ghost seeks to soothe her desperate fears. How could the spirit of a man murdered long ago ignite the passion she'd been certain was dead? Vengeance keeps him chained. Will her love set him free? Danger and desire seem to lurk at every turn, and not everything is what it seems. Will the erotic whispers from the past succeed where her lover failed and woo her to her death? An excerpt from Whisper, Chapter 1. Eden stood in the center of her empty apartment living room, listening to the quiet. The movers had already taken everything, leaving her with empty silence and her memories. Another hour and she'd be gone, never to return. She'd be starting fresh, able to leave the past behind her. The trial was over and Greg was behind bars. Hopefully he would stay there long enough for her to rebuild her life, a new one without her vision. He'd taken that from her in one night of never-ending, unforgettable horror. Greg's plan had been to destroy her slowly, to pay her back for the sin she hadn't committed. They'd driven to the secluded cabin that sunny Friday afternoon, ostensibly for a weekend of undisturbed loving, but the first thing he'd done when they stepped inside was barrage her with questions about her recent out-of-town trip with one of her co-workers, Perry Arnold. She'd never seen that side of Greg. It was like being blindsided by a runaway train. He'd always been considerate, loving, a bit demanding, but nothing that caused her warning bells to clamor. Throughout the hours that followed her, she found with devastating clarity exactly what kind of warped ideas he'd kept buried inside. Eden had tried to deny vehemently his demands that she tell him the truth about her supposed liaison with Perry. Perry, of all people, would be the last one she'd have an affair with. He was happily married to a woman he adored, and they had 3 children. But Greg persisted in his accusations until finally he'd slapped her hard enough to send her flying against the wall and cut her lip. Horrified that he'd struck her, she'd quickly risen and made a run for the door. He'd yanked her back and thrown her towards the sofa, then proceeded to beat her, and the nightmare spiraled her into an eternal night of hell. Spewing obscenities, he dragged her into the bedroom, ripped off her clothes, tied her down, and raped her. As she lay there weeping, begging him to let her go, he'd come back into the room and poured something into her eyes, telling her she'd never look at another man. The pain had been excruciating, and she'd screamed until she had no voice left, and she lay whimpering, clouded in never-ending splinters of pain. Thank God he'd underestimated her. He'd assumed he'd beaten all the will from Eden and left the cabin to drive down the mountain to buy supplies. It was the only chance she would have, and she took it. With determination, even through the unbearable agony, she was able to loosen the ripped bedsheets that bound her, offering a chance to escape. Unable to see, she grabbed the blanket from the bed and wrapped it around her, fumbling and falling, climb over and around furniture. Finally, she managed to crawl to the door. Wrenching it open, she ran, uncaring where she ended up, as long as it was away from the cabin, away from the devil. They told her later a hunter had found her, collapsed in the woods, and he'd called the police. She vaguely remembered regaining consciousness and being told she was in a hospital. Unable to see and frantic with fear, she begged them to call her best friend, Connie Vega, and to keep Greg away from her. They assured her a policeman was stationed at her door and no one would get to her without going through him. But nothing could take the pain away or the nightmare of those remembered hours. Without her sight, she felt defenseless, and she would always feel that way until she was sure Greg was caught. The doctor informed her that Greg had probably poured some type of toxic cleaning agent into her eyes. Because of the length of time that had passed, the damage had been severe. It was unlikely she would regain her sight. Greg had taken it from her permanently. He'd destroyed the life she had painstakingly built for herself over the years. The hours in that cabin were marked by scars that would never heal completely, never be forgotten. Connie had come to her and stayed by her side, refusing to budge until they were informed Greg had been caught and was behind bars. It was weeks before Eden healed enough to leave the hospital. Then she enrolled in an institute for the blind to learn to cope with her new circumstances. Until that weekend with Greg, she'd worked for an advertising agency. She'd loved designing and putting together the presentations, traveling and meeting with the clients, and the challenges new projects presented. She'd loved her job, had worked hard to gain her position. But the life she'd created had been dependent on her sight. All that was changed now. 6 months after Eden was released from the hospital, Greg had gone to trial and eventually was convicted and sent to prison. It had put an end to that chapter, but where did she go from there? The echoing vision still haunted her. With a soul-deep sigh, Eden checked the time on her watch with a press of her fingertips. It told her she had 30 minutes before Connie would be there to pick her up. She'd wanted this time alone to imprint the sounds and smells of what constituted a large part of her life. She ran her fingertips along the edge of the window, then placed her hand flat against the window pane to feel the warming heat of a late afternoon sun on the glass. She missed watching the sun as it rose over the city. Much against Connie's arguments, Eden was determined to leave the large metropolis and its memories far behind. She felt she needed a complete change in order to move forward. She'd done some house hunting on the internet using her newly installed voice recognition software. It had taken some time to get used to it, but by slow trial and error, it was getting easier to use, and it gave her the feeling she had a little more control over her life. She found a house she thought was what she was looking for. It was located in a place called Raven's Cove, situated on the coast, about 2 hours from the city. She liked the name of the town, so decided to research further. Checking with some real estate agents, she discovered there was a small cottage for sale on the outskirts of the village overlooking the ocean. It even had a name that was appropriate, Phoenix Cottage, to rise from the ashes, and wasn't that exactly what she was doing? Connie assured Eden she'd lost her mind, but Eden had coaxed her into driving out to Raven's Cove to take a look around. The aura of the village had felt right, and when she'd entered the cottage, there'd been no choice. She had to have it. There was something about the house that welcomed her. The furnace was turned low, yet she felt warm, soothed in some way. It wasn't large and would therefore be easy to navigate. It felt cozy and secure, and security was something she desperately needed right now. So, much against Connie's protestations, she'd signed the buy-sell agreement on the spot. Once she became used to the dynamics of the village, it would offer her some freedom and comfort she no longer felt in the city. People would get to know her, and she would know them. There wouldn't be the same anonymity she'd always had in the city, and when Greg was released, as would happen one day, at least she would be in a place where people would know her routines, friends, and habits. Of course, having grown up in a small town, she felt some sense of affinity at returning to her roots. Why had she ever thought she'd find herself, her sense of worth, in a city? All young people thought that, didn't they? But she was now 36, and her profession had come first all these years. Then she'd met Greg and thought he was the one to complete her circle, the key to her happiness. How very wrong she was, and it had almost cost her life. She had a plan. She would attempt to go back to sculpting. She needed to work with her hands. It grounded her, made her feel useful in a way nothing else did. The cottage she'd purchased with a bequest her parents had left had a studio on the second floor. The man who'd had the house built some 60 years before had been an artist. The studio had been converted since that time to a bedroom, but she wouldn't take much to restore it. It gave her something to look forward to, and she loved the ocean. Sculpting was something she'd once set aside as a hobby, not to make a living at, but things had changed. She'd been told she had a gift in her hands. With what was left of her inheritance, some insurance money, and her life savings, it would give her the time she needed to sort things out and become familiar with her new circumstances. She'd always been attuned to her surroundings. Touching things gave her a sense of their soul. To smooth a hand along a wall would often give her an indication of the people who lived there, or to touch a painting gave her an understanding of the artist. The fragile petals of a flower transmitted the nurturing and deep vibrations of the earth. Thank God Greg hadn't started with her hands. She fisted them in remembrance and shuddered. He'd attempted to destroy so much of her body, but he hadn't managed to reach her soul. The man was deranged, and she'd never seen it. He'd been a real Jekyll and Hyde personality. He still sent her letters claiming he loved her. After the first few, she told Connie simply to toss them. She snorted at the thought of those letters. It never even occurred to him that she could no longer see what he'd written, or that he was the reason she'd never be forced to read his words. The sound of the doorbell penetrated the silence, and Eden turned toward the door. It was time to go, time to face an unknown future. A flash came into her mind of the cottage, or at least how she envisioned it. A sense of warmth flooded over her. Something good awaited her, a place to call home. There had been something there, but she couldn't put a name to it. Connie had told her there was gossip the place was haunted. She'd apparently talked to a couple of people in Raven's Cove. The house had passed hands many times, supposedly because the ghosts didn't want them there. Eden didn't really believe in ghosts, although she did sense there was more there than what was beyond the expected. And when she'd stepped inside Phoenix Cottage, it had been like coming home. She'd felt welcomed, wanted in some way. She hadn't heard any voices, but there had been something different. Wouldn't a ghost have warned her away, done something to frighten her, stop her from wanting to purchase the house? Well, it was time to find out what her future was going to be. Her new home awaited. She pivoted and walked toward the door. Her last farewells were done. It was time for the phoenix to arise. "Are you sure about this, Eden? We can turn around and you can stay with me for a while." Eden grinned and shook her head. That had to have been the fifth time over the last 2 hours Connie had questioned her about her decision. "You're a good friend, but there comes a point when I have to get on with my life. I can't behind your very comfortable wing forever, you know." Connie was a gem, that rare find of a true friend and soulmate. From the minute Eden had woken up in the hospital, she'd been there like a mother wolf defending her cub. "What wings? No angels here, honey. Just trying to be realistic. You aren't going to find a good man hiding out here in the boonies. You can't let what Greg did turn you away from finding someone decent. It's been a year. Time for you to come back to the living." Eden snorted. "I am. Maybe not the way you expected. And I don't need a man to feel alive. Someday, maybe, but not right now." "This sure helps, sweetie," Connie mumbled. "I swear men are an addiction with you." "A sweet one, that's for sure, with a little hot spice thrown in." "I don't need a man in my life right now," Eden assured her. "I have enough on my plate." "But there are no men out here, Chica. That's what I'm trying to tell you." "I have other things to work out first, really. Right now, I'm in no hurry." Eden reached out a searching hand across the space of the car and felt Connie grip her fingers. "Besides, I have you. You'll just be at the other end of the phone, and you're only 2 hours away." Connie's fingers tightened. "You betcha I'm there. Any time you need me." Eden released her hand with one last squeeze. "I know, and I'm grateful for that. No one could have a better friend." Connie cleared her throat. "Harry recommended a housekeeper for you. She'll come in once a week to clean." "Harry, you're on a first-name basis with my real estate agent?" Eden loved to tease her. She always took the bait so fast. "Don't be going there, Eden. He's not bad, but he sure as hell isn't my type. We're just friendly. He also found you a kid to keep the garden and lawn in order. His name is Kip, and he's the son of the local florist. Needs the money for college." "Well, you've certainly been busy getting my life in order for me." Eden wanted to be irritated, but it was hard to stay angry with Connie. "Did you leave anything for me to do?" "Well, sure, honey. You can breathe and relax and figure out what you want to do. Take it one day at a time. I'm an organizer, you know that. I lived to organize." Which was quite true. That's what she did for a living. Connie was a caterer and organized weddings, office functions, and private parties for a living. Vegas Catering Service was sought after for the biggest and best parties in the city. It was a family-run business, and Eden's former employer had used her company often. In fact, that's how Eden had met Connie, and they'd hit it off right away. Connie was so outgoing, it was hard not to like her. But they also found they shared a lot in common. They were both members of the same health club, had the same taste in movies, and played chess with a passion. Connie exuded Latin flair in everything she did. Eden had been drawn to her right away. The one thing they hadn't agreed on was Greg. "Well, here we are, your dream home. I just hope it doesn't end up being Hell House." Eden felt the car make a turn and heard the crunch of gravel beneath the tires. The pall that had shattered her at the thought of Greg lifted. A level of excitement started to build inside her. "Give it up, Connie. I'm staying." She heard the driver's door open, then close. She unhooked her own seatbelt and reached to open the passenger door to get out. It was open before she could grasp the handle. "I'm not an invalid, you know. I can get out of the car on my own." "Yeah, yeah, I know, so you keep saying. But after the weekend, I won't be here, so you can be Ms. Independence then. Humor me now." Eden laughed and shook her head. "You are one of a kind, lady, and I love you dearly." she heard Connie harrump. Don't forget it. Let's get inside. I'm here for the weekend, and judging from the number of boxes the movers carried out, we're going to be busy. Whisper by Adriana Dane, now available from Amber Heat, www.amberheat.com, also available in the Images of Desire anthology, now available from amazon.com. For more information on other stories, visit www.adrianadane.com.